Hello everyone, hopefully you can hear me okay. Welcome to a Friday night special live stream ahead of this weekend's first dose of rugby league action for 2024. Coming from you live in Las Vegas. Joking, no, I didn't get to make the trip to Vegas. So I'm here just in Oz, just doing my thing. But shout out to anyone who is, shout out if you're, give me, I wonder if anyone in the chat is tuning in from Vegas. Let me know in the chat. Also, big thank you to everyone for tuning in on a Friday night. I appreciate it's not generally the night you want to be staying at home watching someone just talk about Supercoach, a fake game on a Friday evening, but I appreciate all of you in the chat for sticking it out with me. So yes, big hello to everyone. Art, poem. I don't have a poem prepared, unfortunately. Maybe if I can come up with one in the stream, of course. The Bayer Baron, I'm early and going to be live for once. Hello, hello. Davey K, a big fan as always. Thank you so much. More like hair care tips after a long, wet summer. There was another hair comment. Yeah, it was, Aman really defies the laws of physics in his meticulous maintenance of his luscious hair. Now, you guys are just going to make me blush. I mean, it's a bit hard to tell with my big ring light on, but you guys are way too kind about my my locks, which look, they're not all as it looks to be. They're fine. Nothing crazy going on there. But hello, Michael. I'm Lockie Flabbert's Cricket. Need some help, Aman? Look, I need help too. Don't worry. We're all stressed about our teams right now. Yes, I am. It's unbelievable how stressed you can be just about a good old game like Supercoach, which is just, it's a fantasy game at the end of the day, but it does make you think long and hard about it. I guess we only have to really confirm slash question those playing this weekend. Yep, absolutely. That's obviously a key thing for this week. Scott, hello to you. Mac Attack, Simon Prunster, Steezers, James Sinfield, Tom, Aiden Hassan, Basketball Craze Central, Chris Hughes. Thanks everyone for tuning in. It's the beard that gets you, Scott. Oh, love to hear it. Love to hear it. Yeah, you guys always talk about the hair. I'll get a few. I'll take a few comments about the beard. Thank you. Thank you very much. Will I be posting updates on my team before round one lockout? I'm Lockie. Don't worry. I will show you my team as it is right now. So don't worry. I'm very happy to be very open with my team because, to be honest, I think a lot of you out there actually are much better at this game than me. I just happen to have an opinion and put it up on. Well, everyone has an opinion. I just happen to put my opinions up on the internet. But a lot of people have better opinions and better gameplay in the game than me, so don't worry, don't you worry. I'll be looking for your help as well about my team. And look, I don't even mind if people copy the team, because at the end of the day I have zero control over what other people do. I would honestly warn people not to copy this team or my team ever, just because I get a lot wrong. So definitely play it your own way. Brayley, hello to you. Big Chungus, fantastic name that, by the way. Hair's looking good, bro. All right, so I think what we'll do just for the stream, don't want to make it too long, we'll keep it to about an hour. Now, as David K mentioned earlier, it is pretty, not pretty obvious, but that is one of the things. We don't have to finalize everything in our teams this weekend. First lockout will happen at 1:30 p.m. Sydney time, so I think if you're in Brisbane, I think it's 12:30. We only need to be locking in players playing in the first two games of this week, which is Roosters, Broncos, and Eagles, Sea Eagles, and Rabbitohs. Outside of that, your team can still change as much as it wants. It's just those players will lock out. So we'll talk a little bit of strategy about that as well, in terms of how much do you want to be going on Vegas players versus the non-Vegas players who will get their team list next week on Tuesday. I'm definitely going to do another stream next week at some point. That's when we really have to start locking in our big decisions, is next week. So this week, a few less decisions really need to be locked in, but it does have a flow-on effect. What you do with your team this week in terms of certain players you lock in will obviously constrain some of your funds and whatnot that you can then make available for next week. My general thinking with that at the moment is to, if I'm in doubt, take the guy who's going to be playing next week and not this week, just so I've got that flexibility of seeing all of the other teams' lists in next week's Tuesday TLT. That's kind of how I'm playing it at the moment. I want to have that flexibility of, if I'm really not sure about like a Roosters back row, like this, I'm seeing some comments already about Sua Wong, Tupanua, for example, may feature into that, Terrell May. I know Terrell May was in my most recent team that I posted. But if in doubt, I'm going to probably steer away from them and just have the flexibility to maneuver elsewhere once we've got the full picture come round one TLT with next week. Big shout out as well to everyone out there. Like in the last couple of days, I mean, it's been a bit busy, been pumping out a lot of videos, but there's been a lot of positive response. Lots and lots of new subs, a lot of new followers on Twitter as well. I think I asked for 3,000 by Sunday lockout, and I think we smashed that. I think we're on like we're closer to 3,300. So you guys have been really good and really supportive of the channel. So really big thanks to all of you out there. All right, so before I tackle your questions, I'll show you what I've currently got in my team. It is a little bit different. Invariably, it's going to be different, obviously, from the team I posted just yesterday, because tinker, 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 I do. So hopefully you can all see that. Okay, let me know if you can't, but it should be on screen now. So here's currently what my team looks like. Let me just check the audio still working when I've changed screens. Yes, it is. Cool. Alrighty, so what's changed from yesterday? So first change is hooker. I kind of took some shortcuts and funds and put Harry Grant in there because I like Harry Grant. And the team is probably going to be, I will admit, the team will be more balanced without him in there. So it's that balance of, do you go for guns and cheapies, or do you try to have a bit more of a overall stronger squad and then look to move to Grant soon? So Coruscant, I don't think, is still a bad option. I think I'm definitely going to be either between Grant or Coruscant as my more expensive dummy half. But I won't be going someone like Brandon Smith or any of the other hookers playing this weekend. So the hooker position, I'm definitely keeping open because I really want to see what happens with the Parramatta Eels boys. So Brandon Hands is in there at the moment. I think we got confirmation that Jaden Brayley is also not playing round one. So it's probably going to be Hands or Lussick. Maybe Jacob Little, if you get an update on him, he potentially may come in there as well. Otherwise, it's Grant or Coruscant, I think, for me, likely. And look, I put a tweet out earlier today, which was basically just to improve your overall enjoyment of the game. If there are players that you fear and you really just don't enjoy the game if you don't own them, you're better off just trying to sacrifice elsewhere and just try to get them into your team. And your viewing experience will be better and you'll just have much more positive, healthy relationship with Supercoach. And Harry Grant does fall into that park for me because I remember there was that period last year, I think post-Origin, I didn't go him. I went Cook instead. And that was one of those weeks I didn't have him, was when Grant went and got 140-something against, was it the Sharks? I can't even remember. I've tried to block it from my memory. He just went absolutely huge. I didn't own him and he was mass owned. And he is very heavily owned. I think he's like pushing 30%+ ownership. He is the most expensive dummy half. So there's a lot of potential that it could hurt if he does start well. You know, I don't think he's going to come out absolutely guns blazing 100+ because his opponents are tough, but he's going to be someone you eventually want, right? And it's tricky where if you don't start with him, things happen. You don't get him until round 7 or 8. Then you start questioning, well, I'm only 4 or 5 weeks from Origin. Do I even get him then? I'm just like, do I really want all of these headaches? Let me just try to find a way to get him in there. So he's currently in there with Brendan Hands. That hasn't changed. Jai Arrow is still there at the moment. He's probably getting closer and closer to, I think, staying there come this weekend. I don't love the bench for the Rabbitohs. Like, it looks like a pretty strong bench with forwards. I don't think Arrow will play 80, but if he plays 60, 65, I like the right back rower for Supercoach for the Rabbitohs, because that left back rower typically actually gets cut out and they play out the back to like Cody Walker and Latrell to feed Alex Johnston. Whereas the right back rower, someone like an Ilias, does like to play to his back rower. Like, Kalama Tongi was very successful in the last couple of seasons playing in that position. So I'm just kind of hoping, can Arrow jag like one attacking stat? And if he can kind of, outside of that, if he goes like 50, 55, I'll take it. And he's dual, so that's kind of handy. He doesn't have an early buy, something that Flegler does. So I'm kind of, just for that couple of reasons, stuck with Arrow for the time being. As you can see, this is a second, not a second forward, a front row forward structure that, to be honest, I haven't fully played with this preseason, but this is kind of one of the sacrifices I had to do to get Harry Grant into the team, is that really, really cheap second front row forward. I think it does have risk to it, for sure. Like, I had Tyrell May. I don't think Tyrell May is bad by any means, but I was kind of looking at it as, if I wanted Grant in my team, I may potentially have to swap around that position. And if things don't pan out quite like we want next week with cheapies and things like that, and if I'm locked in with Aaron, Tyrell May, it may just hamper me next week. So at the moment, I'm kind of just leaving it as Jai Arrow, I think, will stick there. And I think for the time being, I'll just keep it as the cheaper front row forwards with Sam Hughes, McKaylee. He looks to be a little bit more potentially better with Cohen Hess, unfortunately, was confirmed out for the rest of the season with an ACL. And McKaylee promoted to the top 30. He looked good in the trials. Hopefully, there's a little bit more of a bigger role for him. And then we've got Liam Henry, who I think only played like 16 minutes in the World Club Challenge. Not fantastic, but that's kind of what I've just got at the moment. Just gone real cheap with that second front row forward. I've actually put out a poll on Twitter, which has already got 80 votes. And I asked, how expensive is your second front row forward? The four categories being 500K plus, 4 to 500K, 3 to 400K, and then sub 300K, which is currently what I've got. So the most popular is the 400 to 500K. That's 39% of the vote at the moment. So you're looking at your Jai Arrows, Terrell Mays. In an ideal situation, I think I would have something like a Ruben Cotter, Jai Arrows slash Terrell May type combination. So I think Cotter is going to be a bit better with Hess being out as well. But just money-wise, didn't really quite work. So I think that would be my ideal front row forward structure if I was doing it a bit lighter. But at the moment, this is just what I've had to get. So it was 39% between the 4 to 500K, 21% 3 to 400K. That's the second lowest. That kind of tells you not a lot of people are going with, like, you know, the likes of Kepi or Lenu as their second. But the second most popular category is the sub 300K. So I think behind the 4 to 500K as the second front row forward, a lot of people are going with this kind of cheaper strategy. So it's not, I've seen it in a few other people's teams as well. I do like what it enables. So at the moment, I've just got it for the time being, but that's where that's at. Guys, as well, sorry, apologies. Lots of questions coming in. I will get to them. I did want to go through my updated team just so you guys know kind of where my head is at the moment. And the reason I wanted to take money out, one is Harry Grant, because to be honest, my backline hasn't really changed from what I posted yesterday. But second row forwards, I wanted to put a bit more money there. Like, and I kind of mentioned in my team video, originally I was siding with Fermor and Curran, and I was quite high on them, and I didn't have either of them with the way that my squad makeup was there. And I was kind of like, I'm not really certain on any front row forward, but I've got a stronger feeling about the likes of Curran or Fermor. So I was like, let me just take that front row forward money, put it to that second row forward where I've got a bit more confidence. So that's what I've kind of done, put Fermor in there. Sean Lane, Piacura, and Lukey are still there, as is Smithies. And then just as a bit of a, you know, a cash enabler, Viliami Fifita. I don't really expect a lot from him. I mean, Luciano Leilua it's been announced that he won't be playing for the Dragons, I think, until round 3. We don't even know if Fifita will get a bench spot at the time being, but I do have about 72K in the bank at the moment. So if I needed to upgrade him to like a, God forbid, if we get someone like a Jack Howarth, that would be nice. But maybe like a Howarth, maybe I'd put Kane Bradley in there and then put someone else in the cheaper center wing position. A couple of things I can do there. So I have got some money to try to play around with that. I didn't start with Grant last season either. No, I did actually start with Harry Grant last season. So Grant was good to me at the beginning. I was very happy. The last two seasons, I've actually started with Grant. I've always generally wanted to start with him because the hooker position is weak. This year, it's a little bit different, I guess, with the lack of quality cheapies has meant money's a bit tighter. Coruscal goal kicking is a plus for sure. But again, the other thing with Coruscal is that round one, we're not going to get any team lists for the West Tigers. We won't get that till round two. So again, another thing where is there going to be a bench hooker in, you know, maybe like a Talon Silva or a Jake Simkin? We just don't know yet. So let's take that decision out of my hands for the time being. Am I scared of Jai Arrow only getting 40 minutes? I think you would get more than 40 minutes. I think it's got to be more around the 60-65, because I don't like playing right back row. He could even potentially transition to playing middle if he plays a stint on the edge as well. So I think the minutes should be okay. I guess let's stick with front and forward. Should I defo drop Willison? Yeah, so Willison is still in the 17 for the Broncos, but rumors are kind of out there that it's likely going to be, Mardi Tapau is going to come into the 17 for Willison. That's kind of the rumors. That's just the reason why I haven't got him. Again, Vegas headache. Do I want that locked in? We'll get the final team, obviously, come 3:30 on Sunday. But at the moment, I just kind of feel like he's going to be ousted from that Broncos team. So haven't got him at the moment. Will Haim Lukey be playing 80 minutes? I don't think Lukey will be playing 80 either. Finney Fuiaki could be on the bench for the Cowboys, but I like Lukey's attacking upside. Like, he looked good in the trials. He's got a good work rate. I think he's going to play decent minutes, like 55, 60. That's still probably enough for me for Lukey when they've got a pretty good draw. So the chances of those attacking stats could be there early rounds of the year. Like, looking at some of his games from last year, You know, when he played 60 minutes, he had a game where he scored 121 points. Granted, big attacking stats in that. But in that 60 minutes, he based 45, which is pretty solid. If you add some runs into that, you're looking at about 55 points in 60 minutes, which is pretty decent, especially at his price of 471K. Other games, he played 53 minutes. Sorry, no, he played 71 minutes. So again, not a full 80-minute game, but he based 53. Again, quite solid. A game last year, he played 59 minutes, scored 35 in base, but he did actually end up on 55 points. So, because he must have had some offload or and extra runs and stuff like that. So I think with Lukey, I kind of look at it as, even if he's playing 55 to 60 to start off with, probably going to be around that 45 to 55 average. But it's just kind of, I think, the potential of the player. He's just had a lot of injuries recently, so I'm hoping that if he's fit and firing for the beginning of the year, I'm happy to start with Lukey. So Lukey's there. Sean Lane, obviously some question marks over him, but if he gets named to start next week, he'll be there. Piakura is probably another player I will be locking in this weekend. I think I'm pretty set on Piakura. It's a tough draw, but we saw in the trials he's got that attacking upside. The work rate is probably not quite there, but he's also helpfully on the lower end of this 400k spectrum, 426k. I think he'll be there round one, so I'm going to probably lock him in this weekend as part of one of the four Vegas teams. And then Smithies, so there's still some doubts about him in terms of when Corey Horsburgh comes back, is he going to be playing out lock and then move Smithies to the bench? That is a risk. We're taking a risk of Ricky Roulette, which we do hate, but look good in the trial. He's got a good work rate. At least for the first 2 to 3 weeks, he's a play in your 17. Like, I'd be comfortable playing him and hoping for like 50 to 55. If you haven't seen, I've got a post on Instagram about Smithies. I've also got a section on him in my 2RF video. He just kind of is a work rate type player, made 55 tackles in the grand final for the Super League last year. I think he had a game when he was 18 where he made 70 plus tackles. Like, he's just a Sean Fensom type 2.0. So he's kind of there, I think, at a good price. Not Kai Pierce-Paul, just because I think him and Dylan Lucas are going to be minute sharing. So that's kind of a second row forward at the moment. Halfbacks, all 5'8", actually hasn't changed. Hines Cleary, I think I'm locked into that. Dylan Brown, locked in. He's definitely not going anywhere. I still have Lockie Galvin. I mentioned my reservations in my video yesterday, but I'm kind of thinking about a bit more and more in that I do think he's going to get a utility spot for the Tigers. And I think even if he plays like 20, 25 minutes off the bench, if he's getting about 20, 25 points playing as a utility, I'll probably take it. He's bottom dollar. The only other alternative, like, I guess it really comes down to Ethan Strange versus Kaye Weeks. I could see Kaye Weeks scoring similar, like maybe 30, 35, not that different to Galvin. So I think with Galvin, I think I'm just going to take that 70K saving and just put in there. I don't necessarily need him to play the first 7 weeks or first 8 weeks, actually. Dylan Brown is going to be there. There are some risk, obviously, in that if he doesn't get named at all, then he is effectively enough, and then I'll have to deal with him at that point. But hopefully we can just sort that out at the time being. So again, these are some of the compromises that have to be made to try to fit in someone like a Grant. Like, I look at it as I've got six guns: Grant, Hines, Cleary, Dillbags, and then I've got my Ponga, and then my other fullback. That's five. That's five guns. Five really expensive guns. I think any more than that really starts making the team unsustainable. So that's that at the moment. The centers also hasn't really changed too much. Sorry, I just got a bug on my desk. So centers haven't really changed. Tuivasa Sheck, Taylor May. I had Drew Hutchinson. I can still go Drew Hutchinson. I can go trade out Jamin Salmon to him right now if I have to. I've got the money in the bank. So I could still actually do that, and I may very easily do that. If I changed nothing else for my team, I still may just upgrade Jamin Salmon to Hutchinson. At least Hutchinson could be getting a 80-minute role. Salmon, still TBD. Him and Curran, it's hard to say what it's going to look like right now. We just really need to see that team list. Burbo, locked in. He'll be locked in this weekend as a Vegas player. On the bench, not much different there. Kane Bradley, right now he looks to be a cheapy option, so we've got him in there. Same as Ethan Strange. Suspicion is that he's going to be there ahead of KO Weeks. And then I've got Tuopiki of the Warriors. Should be playing fullback for the first 3 weeks. There is some chat about CNK being back in round four. So he probably does have a short shelf life, but he could even be a play if he is available and playing at fullback. So I'm happy to go with him right now. I've tried to make the team so that I don't have Jacob Gagai. I know a lot of people are going with Jacob Gagai. I'm still torn about, like, do I just... Because Jacob Gagai will lock out this week, right? So I'm just like, do I just take the certainty of someone who at least will be playing this week? But we just don't know what's going to happen when they come back. Like, sure, Jack Whiten comes back into the team. And then... What's his name? Richie Kenner moves out. But then Isaac Thompson is there. Granted, I think Isaac... If my gut would tell me that Gagai will be there until Munro comes back. That's my gut. Just because I think Isaac Thompson last year was starting for the Rabbitohs. But then eventually Ty Munro made his way in there. So I'm kind of like, is he even that favoured? Is he just happy to go, I'll go Gagai, he holds the position, and then until Ty Munro comes back. So I'm kind of looking at it as... It's the decision of, do I start with him and potentially have an issue, or it could be great, or am I willing to make one trade in round three if it looks like Gagai actually is set to make good money? Then I can go someone like Tuopiki down to him and make myself 70k. And the only cost of that information is one trade. So that's kind of what I'm thinking of at the moment. And I'm thinking, just with the uncertainty about the job security, also knowing that I've got Fifita, Viliami Fifita and Galvin, going again with Gagai as my third, like, 204k guy with all job security issues, I'm just like, I just feel like that's maybe one too many. I kind of only want two of the three. With the team setup I've got at the moment, that's what I've gone for. So that's why I've not got Gagai at the moment. And because I'm 50-50 about it, I probably won't go with him in the end, just because he will lock out this week. And I just want that flexibility for getting more information next week as well. Finally, fullbacks. It's changed. Of course it has. Ponga and Turbo. Turbo's back in. The tweet that I put out earlier today was, I mentioned it in the stream already. The players that you don't own that you are frightened of and hate to not have in your team, it's probably better just to get them. I've gone back to Turbo, and I think I will lock in Turbo this weekend as well. And the reason I think I've defaulted back to Turbo, despite the good draw of Drinkwater, which I think it is better than Turbo's, with Turbo, what was I even going to say? I completely forgot what I was going to say. Oh yeah, that's right. So what I was going to say is, I think I was going to regret it more if I went Drinky. He did well, Turbo. There's kind of situations in my head of like, how would I respond emotionally? If I have Turbo, don't go Drinkwater. If Turbo goes bad and Drinkwater goes good, versus the opposite of if I own Drinkwater and say Drinkwater goes bad, Turbo goes good. So basically, in the situation where I've got one of the two and the opposite one that I don't have goes well, I would be more annoyed if I had Drinkwater and Turbo went well and I didn't have him and Drinkwater doesn't do well. And it would be because I know I had Turbo for such a long time in preseason for a reason. And it was just like an auto default pick. Like, I didn't even really even consider Pappenhausen in my round one team picker. When it got to team picker, it was like, I actually debated Ponga more than Turbo. Turbo actually went straight into my team. So I'm kind of thinking, like, there's obviously something that, there's some part of me that just thought Turbo's the guy. I'm going to get Turbo. I don't even know what it is. It's somewhere in the gut. So that's kind of why I've defaulted back to Turbo. And I think I'll be locking him in. I won't put him in my starting kind of 13, though, on the field. Even though that probably is the smarter thing to do if you do have players locking out earlier this weekend, and you're going to play them, put them into your starting and put your reserves onto your later players in that order, because it will keep you more flexible. But with Turbo, I think I'm going to keep him on the reserves, because I've got a strong feeling that I will either VC Ponga or straight captain Ponga on that Thursday night game at home to the Raiders. So that's the only reason why I've still got Turbo in my reserves there. But that's my team currently. Obviously some changes from what I said yesterday, not massive ones. Obviously Drinkwater to Turbo, I was kind of 50-50. I guess the only other differences really is that Coruscant, Terrell May and my fifth second row forward have become Grant, Liam Henry and Furmore. I think I prefer the latter that I've got at the moment. So anyway, that's what I'm on at the moment. So apologies that took a long time, but I thought it'd be useful for you guys to hear my thought process. We'll spend the next 30 plus minutes going through your questions now. So we'll get onto that now. So keep your questions coming. But yeah, apologies if you've already asked one. Happy for you to ask it again, because otherwise if I scroll up, I'll probably lose my place. Isn't Tua Pickett the same risk as Gagai without the price saving? I think I can kind of get, I kind of see that, Steezers. I guess the only difference is that Tua Pickett looks like he's pretty much locked in for that 3 weeks, and it's probably the bet of if there's a potential issue, like further delay with CNK's hamstring, then Tua Pickett will just stay in that team. I don't think RTS will come to fullback early on in the season. That's my suspicion. So Tua Pickett, I'm kind of taking a bet of he looks a bit more guaranteed for the next 3 weeks, and if I need to make that move down to Gagai, I can always do that. With Gagai, it could maybe potentially even be round two. They're back, and then Isaac Thompson, or someone's even mentioned Tane Milne, could be back on the wing there. So again, it's kind of, I'm kind of just like, I feel like the chances of Gagai going out of the team earlier are higher than it is with Tua Pickett. And if I can fit a team with Tua Pickett in there over him, then I'm happy, because I can always make that move down, but I can't do vice versa, I guess. So that's just kind of my thought processes on those two. Latrell. I'm personally not going Latrell. Like, as I think I've kind of decided now, Turbo and Ponga. So that's kind of where I'm at the moment. Latrell obviously is a fantastic option, matchup proof, but goal kicking obviously helps, but I don't know. It's just, I can't really explain it other than this is my feeling of I want Ponga and Turbo now. vibes. You can lead a horse to drink water. Yeah, look, anyone thinking drink water, look, I was on him as of yesterday, so I can't tell you he's a bad option. Really good draw. I think you'll be fine with drink water. That's the beauty of the fullback spot. Nicholas, Amar, there are so many Supercoach experts now giving their opinion. However, none backed up with data and facts. You are the GOAT of Supercoach stats. GOAT Shooks. Thank you, Nicholas. That's very, very kind of you. Appreciate it. I will not call myself an expert, that's for sure. I'm just a guy who likes the game equally as much as everyone else. I just happen to be speaking about it a bit more vocally on the internet. Damien Cook, an option. Definitely a pod, as you say. No Mamazoulas on the bench, but Havili can also play some dummy half. I mean, I'd probably guess that Cook still plays 80 minutes. I just kind of feel like he's just in a kind of decline. Like, he just doesn't really feel like someone who, to me, is going to be... like, I had Cook for probably the second half of last year, and he has spells where he can go good, but, like, there's just a lot of scores. I think he's pretty much priced at his value. I'm looking at his opening of last season, 68, 58, 58, 68, 56, 73, 58, 65, 55, 45. Like, there was a lot of just kind of 50s and low 60s. Only one score above 73, and that was against the Bulldogs. He did probably perform a little bit better towards the end of the season, which was surprising because that's when the Rabbitohs actually fell off in form. But I guess I think if the Rabbitohs start well, it's probably not going to be because of Cook. It's probably going to be because of Latrell and Cody and others. So I think Cook is just going to be that distributor. So I just feel like his, that upside and what you're paying for him, what is he, he's 600 and how much is Cook? He must be in the 600s. 663K. It's less than 100K to Grant, which I get. That's not a small amount of money, but if you're already paying that much, I'd probably just go Grant or maybe JMK. Or to be honest, I'd probably actually even prefer Coruscant for cheaper. At least he's goal kicking. Okay, what happens if Hands and Lusick plays and Jaden Brayley's out? Who's a cheapish player you could get at hooker? Danny Levi is one, but really doesn't thrill me because I look at him and Tom Starling as splitting minutes equally. And so if Levi's only getting like 40 minutes, he's probably going to be getting, I don't know, 25 to 30 points. I think the only real other option is probably going to be Jacob Little. So he's priced at about 480K, I want to say. 458. Now, if there's no kind of like backup utility or hooker on the bench for the Dragons and he's playing 80 minutes, very, very interesting all of a sudden. Because in his 80 minute games last year or where he played bigger minutes, he was quite good. Like last season, 74 minute game, 110. 76 minute game, 65. 74 minute, okay, to be fair, there's a bunch of 40s. There was a spell where he got 47, 40, and 46 when he played 70 minute games. But like, I guess that's kind of offering value, like his price of 458K. So maybe Jacob Little, but yeah. Again, these are kind of a couple of reasons why I'm looking to just be honest, Chris. And that's just more of a price thing than anything else. Like, King is close to 100k more than Arrow. That really starts hurting on the other things in the team. So, like, I like Max King. I think if you're going around that low, like that 540k, with the news of Colin Hess, I still think I'd slightly prefer Ruben Cotter, but Max King very, very close behind. But I haven't really considered him, more just from a price point of view, not necessarily against the player. Rocco Berry, thoughts, 380k and a great team, DWZ tries. Rocco Berry, I mean, we saw it a lot last year. Like, I'm just having a quick look. What did he average? He averaged 38 last season, and I think that's what he is. Because, as you say, DWZ, like, the whole play is SJ to CNK to DWZ. Oh, camera is glitching / lagging. Oh, thank you for letting me know. I think it could be, yeah, I'm getting a message, dropped frames 3%. Hopefully it fixes itself back. It could be just the laptop is getting a bit, is working a bit hard. But as long as you can still hear my voice, hopefully then that's okay. Let me know if you guys can still hear my voice, no problems. I think I can see that the camera is lagging a little bit, but if the audio is going okay, then I can maybe just turn off the camera for a second, potentially. This is what you don't see when I make recorded videos. If it lags, then I just I stop talking, let it fix itself, and then resume talking. Oh yeah, okay, yeah. Anyway, let me know if it's good now. Okay, it may just occasionally drop in and out. It's probably just the laptop. You got my voice and my hair. Nice, thank you. How dare you scroll past my earlier comment? Hair looking fire tonight. Keep it up. Thank you, Mitchell. Appreciate it. There's some good hair comments coming in. All right, what else we got here? Jordan Rapana, a pod player if named at fullback. Rapana, haven't really considered him. 557k feels a bit expensive. I don't think they've got a bad draw. I mean, what did he average last season? 54.6. Kind of feels like that's what you'll get from Rapana. There was a period of time, not last season, but the season before, where he was actually goal-kicking. That was when he was actually quite appealing. I don't know, I just feel like the Raiders don't thrill me with their outside backs for Supercoach purposes. Like that 55 he got, I think that's kind of what you're going to get. Like in that high-scoring year in 2021, I believe he was also still playing, I think he was playing some fullback in that year. I'm just going to quickly double-check that. No, he was playing mainly wing, but granted, when he did go to fullback, he was doing very well, but this was that 2021 year where scoring was higher. And he averaged 63, so I kind of feel like just doesn't quite have the ceiling at 557k. I think if you only pay a little bit more, you can get the likes of Karaz, Hamaso, even Tuivasa-Sheck. I feel like there are a lot of other options potentially that could be maybe a little bit better options than Rapana. It just doesn't thrill me, to be honest. Do you think Samuel Afainu gets a spot on the Tigers bench? If so, thoughts on picking him at 2RF? So I think he's like, what, 263k? So he's not on the cheapest. He's not the cheapest of cheapies, I guess I should say. Just having a quick look at, I'm just going to have a quick look at some predicted teams just because I don't want to get this all wrong. I did have a couple of drafts with Alex Seyfarth, but then there was some, I don't know, like Fanua Paulo is still there. Johnny Bateman is still there. I guess he could play in the edge instead of like Kapoa. But let's see. I think Finder will get a bench spot. I think their bench could still be like Alex Twol, maybe Kapoa, maybe one of Pole or Seyfarth. Maybe it depends. Are they going to get a utility? That's probably the only thing. Cause yeah, we actually don't know. sorry. Can't really help you there. He probably will get a bench spot, but I can't. It's hard to say. I think we just need to. We can't even wait until next week. I just probably wouldn't take a chance on him at least to start off with. What's your plan if the front row cheapies shit the bed? I'm doing something similar to you. I'm scared I might have too many fires to put out early. I'll admit this is kind of really only the first or second day I've had this kind of a structure, and I did kind of say like it's got risk when other people were asking me about it. Like as Nick says, seems a bit counterintuitive to start with that kind of cheap of a front row forward, asking to be a forced trade. I definitely see the risks of it, and this is, I guess, the big compromises when you go, you know, trying to stack in an extra gun like a Harry Grant. I guess the only thing is I'd probably say is that I've got areas where I can make money if I have to make those kind of trades. So I wouldn't probably want to trade out Grant, but maybe in the 2RF. I've got four guys there. I'd say Lane, Pikora, and Luki I probably wouldn't want to trade out, but maybe one of those guys, if they don't start off very well, we can go firm or out for one of them. Even someone like a Smithies, if he becomes an issue, if you've got the duels, Smithies via duels to a cheapy center wing, if they crop up, create some money, maybe helps fix the front row forward. Maybe Tuivasa Sheck doesn't pan out. So I think it's just about trying to be open to having... I think if you're going for this kind of structure with front row forward, you have to be open to sell one of your guys that you have jammed into your team to help then spread the funds elsewhere. And so I guess it's probably taking the view of the guys in the mid-range we're all taking a bit of a punt on. We're kind of trying to guess minutes, trying to guess roles. Whereas with guys like Grant and stuff, we don't need to guess. We kind of know what it is. So start with them. And then if you need to take money out and maneuver things that way, maybe that's how you play it. Royce Hunt front row forward, considering with Braden Hamuluwele out for the first few rounds, I don't mind it. I suspect that Royce Hunt will probably play an extra 3 or 4 minutes. So I think, what did he average last season in minutes? I want to say it was in the 20s. He's generally got a pretty good PPM. He averaged 25 minutes last season. Say that gets up to 28. If he maintains a PPM, maybe let's not give him a 1.3 PPM. Let's give it 1.2. So if he plays an extra, let's say, I don't know, let's even give him 5 minutes extra. Let's give him 30 minutes. So that's probably an extra 7 points. It's not bad, actually. If you get an extra 7 points of value, at least for the first month, he can make you some money. I guess he'll only go up once in price. But I think maybe if you're not wanting to do this really, really cheap front row forward structure, you can go Royce Hunt, or you could probably go Spencer Lenu. The only reason I haven't got Spencer Lenu, despite even him starting, is I think my perception has always been that he's going to play the same role as what he did at the Panthers, and I feel like his average won't change too much. That's the only reason why I haven't gotten Spencer Lenu. Super chat. Sorry, I missed that. Mitchell, you saved my season in 23. Good luck in 24, King. Thank you so much, Mitchell. I really appreciate that. Tell me how I saved your season in 23. I'm keen to hear the backstory. But yeah, good luck to you as well in 2024. Of course, we haven't fully gotten to the round one. We'll do another stream next week for sure, and hopefully with a lot more information. A spot the Aussie, is running Gagai really a risk? We know he's playing 100%, won't take one more injury in the Bunnies backline, should have more runs, bottom dollar. Yeah, look, I think a lot of people are going him, and I could still very easily go there. I kind of spoke about him a little bit more before, so see if you can scroll back maybe and hear my thoughts on him, but I guess it depends on your risk appetite. Like, I probably wouldn't want to have Viliame Fifita, Galvin, and Gagai. That's probably one too many of those bottom dollar guys who we really have no idea about job security on. And I think for me, I'm just happy to get the full information on next week's team list and have to cop potentially using one trade to get in Gagai if I have to. That's kind of, I think, the decision I've just landed on at the moment. Thoughts on going Teddy over Turbo if it allows me to upgrade Brooks/Burton to Munster? Yeah, I mean, with Teddy, it's tough, right? Like, Roosters have got a tough draw, but he's apparently trained the best in quite a few preseasons. Sacrificing Turbo, though, feels tough. I would be very much wanting to hold on to Turbo, even if that... And Munster, for example, is fine, but he's got an early buy. Like, I guess you got to look at combo. I guess Munster plus Teddy versus Turbo plus Burton... It's weird because if I had to rank them 1-4, it would be Turbo, Munster, Teddy, Burton. So it's kind of 1-4 or 2-3. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like fullback's maybe not a spot you really want to compromise or sacrifice to try to bolster up elsewhere in your team. So I think if you've got Turbo, I think I'd just probably ideally try to stick with him, Hayden. But that's not an easy one because Munster is obviously a big upgrade. But yeah, that's kind of how I think about it. Ponga captaincy this round. I think I could very easily see myself captaining Ponga. That's the only reason why I've still got Turbo on the bench. Problem is I've got Willison and Kai Pierce-Paul. Put a line through them. Yeah, Willison looks... The rumours look to be that he's not going to be in the final 17, so I just haven't considered him. And Kai Pierce-Paul, just minutes sharing with Dylan Lucas. I think there was a question about Dylan Lucas before as well. If one of them was... Like, if there's only one of them, I'd probably have them in my team. Like, Dylan Lucas has showed when he plays 80 minutes, especially on that left edge, he's got attacking upside, scored one or two tries in the trials as well. Good work rate. Just the minute sharing, we just don't know what's going to happen there. So I think for the time being, I'd just leave it and then see if I can move to them in the future. So Camo Moda, you've just mentioned about Dylan Lucas as center wing. That's the only reason why I haven't considered Dylan Lucas. I did have him in one of my early drafts, I think. But the whole minute sharing thing with Kaipias Paul, I'm just not too keen on. Bit of an off-topic question. Will Gerbo, Turbo, or Burbo score the most in Vegas? Oh, it's got to be Turbo. Surely Turbo. Yeah, let me know what you guys think. I put this out on Twitter as well. What do you guys think the games will be like in Vegas? Do we think they're going to be high-scoring affairs, free-flowing, refs keeping the whistle in their pocket? Or do we think it's going to be round one, clunky attacks, smaller field, defense being the main thing? My personal guess is that it's going to be more of the free-flowing. Not necessarily means point scoring, but the refs are going to keep the whistle in their back pocket, which could lead to more fatigue and then therefore more points. That's kind of what I'm guessing for Vegas, but let me know what you guys think as well. Also, if anyone is Sydney-based, I should be going to the Supercoach Vegas watch party at the Star on Sunday. So if you're around, definitely check it out. Come say hello. We can have a schooner together. How about that? Everyone's sleeping on Corey Jensen. Yeah, I've seen actually a lot of Corey Jensen love on Twitter in the last, I'd say, 24 hours. Obviously, a lot of it is due to that. He's starting for the Broncos now. He averaged 38 minutes last season. I just only really see that changing by to maybe 42 minutes. I don't really see the minutes changing a whole heap for him. And so PPM of 1.07 from last season, I don't know. I kind of feel like his 41 average may go to 45, which is fine. That's what you're paying for. But yeah, I just don't know how much extra value you'll get out of Corey Jensen. And he's probably more of a plotter. I think the reason why people are preferring the likes of Terrell May over him is that even though Terrell May is benched, May's just got more of a super coach friendly game. He tackle busts, he offloads, things like that. Corey Jensen, I just don't think really has that. He's very meat and potatoes. So I'd probably still prefer Terrell May even coming off the bench, but I'm kind of starting to think I'm going off Roosters back rollers and forwards just so we can see what's going on, because there was questions about Sua Wong before, Satili Tupanua. We just don't know yet. Nat Butcher's on the bench for them. Tupanua starting. I think if you're going to start one of Wong or Tupanua, probably just take Tupanua. He's cheaper. So I guess, we know that Tupanua has got attacking upside in him. So I'd probably choose him just for the sake of he's a little bit cheaper. Although that goes somewhat against my whole thing of if you're 50-50, go with the more expensive guy. But I guess it kind of depends on the makeup of your team. But I'm kind of not looking at any of them at the moment, really, just because I just don't know what's going to happen there. Jared Rear Hargraves is out too. He'll be back soon as well. So I'm kind of thinking, do I just move off of all of them? Let's see what you guys think about the Vegas. Entertainment incentives for sure. Two Origin-esque games, kind of thinking 18 to 12. Low totals. I'll meet you at the Star. Buy your Canadian Club. Oh, thank you, Barnes. I do like Canadian Club, actually. Canadian Club is very tasty. I think forward's going to be tired with the forward-centric game. Damien Cook is going to wreak havoc down the middle. Yeah, that's probably a good reason to go Cook if you're interested. My new bloody legend, great to have you, Supercoach and the champ back. No, thank you so much. Gazaraki gifted 10 memberships. You legend. Guys, give it up for Gazaraki. He's just gifted 10 memberships. What a hero. I probably need to do something more with this memberships thing, because I think it's 99 cents a month. It's completely obligation, free. It's if you guys want to support me a bit more, then feel free to, but there's no additional content, because I've always thought about Patreon and stuff, but I'm how much extra content can I create when this already takes up so much of my time? I'm not sure. That's why I haven't got a Patreon and stuff at the moment, but the YouTube membership is a nice little small gesture if you're interested. But thank you, Gazaraki, very generous. How are we going for time? We'll go for about another 15 minutes, so keep your questions coming, because this will probably be the last kind of content I can do before Sunday's games. I think I'll definitely follow me on Twitter and Instagram and everything. I will 100% post my updated team once I've actually locked it in. No problems with that, doing that at all. This is probably the last time I can actually respond to questions on YouTube. Otherwise, write them in on Twitter and I'll do my best to respond. Who's competing for the honorable takeover and dethroning of Tom J? I don't think anyone can dethrone Tom J. Tom J was just a madman. It would be 50 memberships a stream, nonstop. Thoughts on Little and Lusick at hooker to free up dollars from Marzu. Also, not sure why everyone has turned off Gagai, bottom dollar, but is actually guaranteed a game, unlike Galvin. I mean, look, I totally get that, Hamish, and I'm still battling with that myself as well, where Galvin isn't actually guaranteed a game, but Gagai is. I think it's, even if it's maybe just longer term, I think Galvin would get a utility spot, but I guess we don't know at the moment. I'm thinking, is it easier if I just don't have either of them? No, I don't think that'll be the case. I think I will have one of Galvin or Gagai. Gagai's ownership is creeping up, so that could be one that I decide on Sunday. But I see what you're saying. Maybe the risk is more with Galvin because we're not certain about him playing, but Gagai is at least guaranteed to play this week. I think risk appetite. You're just going to be willing to take the punt. Because I could easily just move Ethan Strange up to backup 5'8 and put in Gagai as my seventh center wing. I wouldn't play Gagai this week, but look, come Sunday, I could very easily see myself doing that. In terms of the other part of your question, going cheaper at hooker to free up money for Marzu, I don't mind that at all, to be honest, because I think if you're not sold on Coruscant and you've not got the funds for Grant, I don't think there's an issue, especially if Little it looks like the starter and playing at least 60 plus minutes, then like for sure. Just go with Little and Lusick. If it's a Brendan Hands, maybe you can go cheap. But if you're freeing up good money to get a genuine gun like a Marzu, like I don't think that's a bad strategy. Hooker is a low upside position outside of Grant anyway. You're envisioning a hot boy Walsh 2+ tries. Please no, I don't own him. Why Salmon in center wing will be limited minutes in a ball play heavy role. That's just the kind of a placeholder at the moment, Harold. Like I've got 71K in the bank. So, I mean, I could very easily go to Hutchinson. In fact, I might just show you guys. This is kind of how I've been messing around with the team in the last 2 days. So kind of what I've done a lot of is flicking between this center position, one of these second row forwards, and then the front row forward. So let's say if I want to keep Grant, I'd probably drop Furmore. And let's say I didn't want to go really cheap front row forward. Let's say I go Terrell May. So let's say he's in there, and let's say Smithy Sofida. Just trying to remember how this worked with money. If I went Salmon, I'll put Salmon on the bench. Yeah, I've got 347K here. Now, this is probably the time where, like, obviously I can't afford someone like Hutchinson. So what I could, well, actually, this is something I did toy around with. Instead of Tua Picky, go Gagai, get that bottom dollar guy. Put Salmon in here in my center wing. Sorry, this is going to be awful. And then with 421K in the bank, I can actually afford Curran. Oh no, I'm $400 off Curran. That's okay. I think it was Tupanua who I had for a period of time. So I could get like a Lukey, Sean Lane, Piakura, and Tupanua. And then I could go like Salmon. Well, then, yeah, Salmon would be my fourth center wing every week. He could become Bostock. I think Bostock's a little bit cheaper. Yeah, so I could go Bostock as like my third center wing. Gagai on the bench there. 25K, that would mean I could go Curran if Curran starts. This is the reason why I don't really want to commit on too many players this week, because there's so many kind of things I want to change. But like this is a makeup that I could very easily see myself potentially do. Obviously, this would mean I would need to decide soon by Sunday because I've got Terrell May. But if I didn't want to go with that really really cheap second front row forward, I could do this. You know what? Actually, looking at this, I mean, yes, sure. I'm taking a risk with Gagai, Galvin, and Viliami Fifita. That team actually looks so much better. Do you guys think that looks better? I think that looks better. Having Terrell has just a bit more money in that second front row forward spot. Still getting a decent backup in Curran, especially if Curran starts. I think this could work. And then I guess the center wing's a little bit... I mean, how much different is it to not go Jamin Salmon? Considerations. But this is the thing I'm battling with. It's like those kind of four spots that I'm just kind of continually messing around with. I still could go Tupanua. If I could go like Bostock to Hutchinson, get Tupanua in instead. But yeah, this requires me going Gagai, Strange, and for Viliama Fifita, which doesn't feel fantastic. But anyway, let's leave the team as that for the time being. But yeah, let me know what you guys think and if you think that's a little bit better. Would I take Salmon and Curran, or is that too much? I think I would be okay with both. But I think it could be... It probably is a bit too much. I'd probably just get only one of the two. Will they release the team list day of so I can quickly detrilist it? No, Matt. Unfortunately, team list won't come out until next week, Tuesday, 4 p.m. Is it worth holding off May to get to Cotter if we have the right cheapies next week? Might get stuck going, having to, with Flegler. Is it worth the... Sorry. Yeah, I think, James, your question is kind of like, do we just lock in May this week or do we wait and see what the cheapies situation is next week? I'm trying to veer towards the wait and see at the time being, which is another reason with this particular team, I need to lock in May early. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but I'm also locking in Gagai as well. So with this setup, I'm leaving myself probably a little bit more inflexible with what I can do next week. So that's probably the only downside, but I still think it's a fairly solid looking team, keeping Grant in there as well. Camera lagging a bit. Yeah, unfortunately there was a bit of dropped frames. My laptop's, I think, really starting to heat up. Thoughts on Bronson Cherry on Adokar's side? Yeah, I mean, I kind of mentioned him, I think, was it yesterday? I don't mind him. I think I'd prefer Hutchinson. I think I'm leaning towards actually Hutchinson over him now. I think Hutchinson's probably got slightly better job security. With Bronson, you've got Connor Tracy potentially back. So I think, I don't know, they're both kind of equally risked, I think, with Cherry and Hutchinson. So I'd probably just lean Hutchinson. He's got good base and good work rate, at least in the halves, and he's got dual, which Cherry doesn't have. So slightly leaning, I think, towards Hutchinson. But yeah, there could very easily be one of Cherry, Hutchinson, or Salmon in that third center wing spot. You know, if Grant is getting the flick for dollars, I don't know, Michael, to be honest. After seeing what I can do, if I take a couple of risks on 200 bottom dollar cheapies, like Gagai, Galvin, and Viliama Fifita, getting Grant, like, that's such an upgrade, being able to get Grant. And just knowing he's been in their team just makes me sleep easier at night. I mean, how many are we picking out of Cherry, Hutch, Curran, and Salmon? I'd probably say maximum 3 flyer bets. If Curran starts, I think Curran will be in my team. Even off the bench, I still could lean towards getting him. I mean, right now I've got him in my squad set up. And then I'd probably go Hutch and Curran would be my top two, I think, out of that bunch. Then probably Salmon and then Cherry. Come Newcastle for the Supercoach launch. Thank you, Vera, for the very generous $8 donation. Unfortunately, I don't think I can come all the way up to Newcastle on Sunday, but I will be in Sydney at the Star with the Supercoach party. So yeah, I think there still may be tickets available. I'm pretty sure it's a completely free event as well. So yeah, if you're interested, definitely see you down there. But no, thank you so much, Vera. That's a very kind donation. Who should get my last reserve spot, Smithies or Salmon? I think definitely Smithies, Lucas. The one concern with Jamin Salmon is that he's just very ball playing and doesn't take a lot of runs. So kind of maybe could just stabilize around 35 to 40 and not really do much more than that. Is it still final teams 1 hour before kickoff this Sunday? Yes, I believe that's the case, Davey K. I still think it'll be 1 hour before is when we'll get the final team list. Lucas, sorry, yeah, I've already answered your question about Smithies or Salmon. I would definitely reserve Salmon. Sorry. I would reserve Smithies over Salmon. Jacob Alec, an option for 4 weeks if you start second row while Fifita is out. I did briefly look at Alec. I guess the only thing with him is that he's not bottom dollar. What is he? He's 265k. We've got guys who equal kind of risk of leaving earlier in Gagai. Who else we had? Oh, I guess we had Tua Pikia at 277k. I think second row forward feels like a position though where you've got more options to put in there. So Alec would be taking that up. Whereas with center wing, haven't really got too many other options. So I think someone like Gagai is probably a little bit easier to fit in there. Who would I flick first out of Hines, Cleary, and Grant if money is tight and need to upgrade? I think it would be Grant, unfortunately. I think it would have to be Grant, just because those other two are just the top two Supercoach options. Am I going to be playing Blackjack on Sunday? I'm not actually that big, nor am I that good at gambling. I might just play roulette because that requires less skill. Just pick a number and hope for the best. Do you think that Berbo in the fourth center wing is probably the safe bet? Look, I mean, Berbo's not naturally the biggest work rate type player, but I kind of look at him as happy to have him and happy to play him this week. Like, look, I'm kind of also looking at it this week and as I want to see my players in this kind of Vegas special, especially playing in the first game of the week, being the first game of the season, being the Manly game. So I'm happy to play Berbo as my fourth center wing. But yeah, moving forward, if he keeps getting a starting spot, I'd probably be happy to play him. Left back row spot, like there is potential for attacking stats with him. I've just entertained the idea of passing on Cleary for the first 6 weeks. Who would I go out of, SJ, Moses, or Walker? I think Moses, he's got the best draw out of all of them. So I think Moses would be the one who I'd be going to if I had to choose any. That's who I originally had in my very first team that I made before I went to Cleary. What happened to the Jaden Brayley exodus? Risk of playtime. Then he picked up a hamstring strain. Now he's actually out of round one. So it just looks like he's just not an option at the moment. Just, it looks like it's going to be a really slow, it's going to take a lot of time for him to get back to any relevance at the moment for Supercoach. How come I've backflipped from Coruscant on gone to Grant? It's just, look, Jake, it's really just because by taking a few like extra things on cheapies, like at the moment I've literally just changed to Gagai and Galvin, and I was able to fit in Grant instead of Coruscant. And Coruscant does have a buy in round one, and Grant is Harry Grant. So like Grant, there's no question that Grant is an upgrade on Coruscant. He is the best hooker. And I've just managed to get a way to get him into my team with a team that I'm actually kind of liking. It just means a few risks on cheapies. But I'm kind of liking the look of this team at the moment. So it could be something close to this. Like, I think yesterday I went through locks. I think if I had to update who are my locks, I can't lock Brendan Hands because we don't know yet. But I think Jai Arrow, Sam Hughes, McKaylee will be locked. Lukey, Sean Lane, Piakura, what's that? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think Smithies is close to a lock as well. So that's 7. Hines Cleary locked, 8, 9. Dillbags, 10. RTS, 11. Telemay, 12. Berbo, 13. Hopefully Strange, 14. Bradley, if he gets a spot, 15. Ponga, Turbo. So I'm kind of looking at 17 players in my team who I think I'm pretty set on. I'd love to lock Harry Grant, but I can't lock him when I don't know if I'll end up sticking with him. If I don't go Grant, I'll probably just default back to Coruscant, but it really depends on the hooker situation with the Eels. I think they're going to be a big watch on TLT next week. How are we going? All right, we've hit 9:30, so I'll probably do three more questions, and then I will, I think, leave it at that one. But thank you guys so much. Do give the stream a like as well if you have enjoyed it so far on this Friday evening. Upgrade to Hammer and center wing, keep Hughes instead of mid, front row, forward. Is that a question? I'm trying to tell the question. Upgrade, keep Hughes. Oh, okay. So basically your question is you either go mid, front row, forward, or you go use that money to get Hammer. This is the thing, right? It's like front row, forward is a bit of a plotter position where center wing's got that upside. So I think it depends on what you want to do with that money. But yeah, I'd be tempted to just go Hammer. Does Moses and SJ score more than Cleary the first 6 rounds because of Cleary's bye? I think there's a very good chance of that happening, Nick. But it's also about the trades that you can save by just starting with Cleary as well. Can we talk about Bradley? What's the chances he actually plays? It's a hard one to talk about Gazaraki because we just don't know yet. The only reason I'm kind of hopefully confident is that the Storm did put out a relatively good team in that second trial and he was starting again. So I'm kind of hoping that that's a good idea as to what their first team is going to look like. So just hoping that he's there round one. All right, you know what? We'll do another three questions because it's a very important week, obviously. Besides Terrell May, next best mid front row forward. I'm kind of leaning Jai Arrow at this point, just because it looks like he's going to have decent minutes, 60-65. Playing right back row, I think that's a good spot for the Rabbitohs. No early buyers as well. He's got dual. I'm kind of looking at him. Any love for Tamalolo? Yeah, so Tamalolo is actually quite interesting with Colin Hess out. What is he, like 430K? Potentially could get more minutes with Cohen Hess out. I still kind of think, though, that if Cohen is out, I don't see Taumalolo getting the extra minutes. I feel like the extra minutes are just going to be spread amongst Cotter getting a bit more. I mean, Taumalolo probably will get maybe an extra 2 or 3 minutes, but Cotter's going to get a few extra minutes. McKaylee may get a few extra minutes. Finney Fuyaki could get some. I feel like the minutes are just going to get sprinkled amongst all of the other guys with Cohen Hess out. Because remember, when Cohen Hess comes out, someone else has to come in as well. So I think I am still not that keen on Taumalolo, just because the minutes may only increase slightly. And yeah, I just feel like Taumalolo's, unfortunately as it sounds, I hope I'm wrong, I just feel like his relevance for Supercoach is just could be over, which is really actually sad to say. Thoughts on Savage. Suds, I comment on Xavier Savage in my center wing video, so do please check that out if you want more of my detailed thoughts on that. I do have to wrap up the stream soon. Can I talk about Drinky, Jamin? Yeah, I definitely talk a bit more about Drinky and Turbo in yesterday's video, but I talk about it a lot in the fullback video, so definitely check that one out as well. I go into that a lot in a lot of detail, so really recommend you check that out as well. Ape, thanks for the stream, man. First, you're doing this and you're my favorite SE creator. Love you, Ape. Appreciate that so much. All right, guys, I think we're going to wrap up the stream there. It's getting a bit late. I'm getting a bit tired. But yeah, hopefully you all enjoy that. I'll definitely post what my updated team looks like come Sunday before the lockout. I definitely want to give that information to you guys. So follow me on Twitter, Instagram. I'll try to put it out in all the socials. But otherwise, at the moment, I'll try to go to bed tonight and not change this team. I can at least promise you that. Yeah, I'll promise you that. I won't change my team tonight. No promises when I wake up tomorrow, because I could wake up with a different brainwave. But this is how it looks at the moment. So I'll scroll slowly, get a good look at it. That's the team currently. Otherwise, go watch back on the stream. All right, thanks so much, everyone. Well, we'll leave it there. But yeah, hit me up on Twitter and stuff for any more questions. But thanks all for tuning in. Appreciate you being here on a Friday evening. And yeah, we'll probably catch you again on probably Monday or Tuesday once we get team lists. And if you're coming down to the Star in Sydney, then I'll see you there in person. All right, thanks, everyone. See ya.